Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
Deja vu.
We're back. Is that what Mike says on the show?
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Yeah. I'm Brianna Christine Wills.
Yes, you are.
Like, emphasis on my middle name.
And this is my podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of attacked me during that podcast, and I go, well, I can say milk any way I want to say milk. I don't know.
No, I kind of agree with them.
I've got
it's M-I-L-K.
Wait, what?
It's really dumb.
It's people that say milk instead of milk, because if you take the M out of milk, you would say ilk, not elk, because elk is E-L-K. And so there was a couple of that on,
but there's
on our
a
previous
lot of
Super
words.
Secret podcast.
Because yeah. You said milk?
I don't know.
Or people that say pillow. Weird.
Yeah.
Suspicious, actually.
Ooh. I think they probably spell incorrectly then, too.
Probably.
And they could be from another region of the United States, too.
Well,
I mean,
in that's
Illinois,
not our fault.
We grew up saying, wash. I'm going to go wash my clothes.
That's,
and once you get to Boston and New York, just give up the whole thing.
No,
and,
see, California has the most proper accent of all of the
U.S. All the people in California say that.
Yeah.
They do.
You know what I think is amazing? That British people do not have an accent. But we do.
No,
that.
British. Matt. Matt. Okay. Listen.
And by the way, we are everywhere, so we're definitely offending somebody somewhere.
We need an American flag in here after that.
We don't have one. Matt, come on. What would Mark Hoffman say?
He'd put an Italian one.
Well, it is ironic that we have returned.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're going to talk about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're talking about returning to the center so that we can reignite on mission.
Yep.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but it seems like it was just minutes ago that last episode.
It does feel like that.
Yeah. It was powerful.
It's almost like we just were recording.
Yeah. And here we are. We're back. Do you want to review quickly, Brianna? What episode one or whatever number it was, but in
that was episode 170, and now we are 171.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. In episode 170, we talked about drifting. We talked about what might cause us to drift. Drifting as far as like...
what kind of tires you need. And
Not
does your car do that, man? Because you got a fancy car.
My car does not drift.
Okay.
Not fast and furious drifting, but just like spiritual drift and what might be the catalyst for spiritual drift. We talked about how spiritual drift does not equal being a failure.
Yeah.
It doesn't equal being less of a Christian. And I think that really also brought up the conversation of like humility and conviction versus condemnation.
For sure.
Yeah, that's what we covered. And now that we've talked about drifting, we're going into what to do after you recognize that you have drifted.
Yeah. And you know what? The thing about it is this is really important because you don't rush back to hurry and mechanical doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. What we're kind of going back to in my head, we're going back to the why, not the how or what.
Yeah.
I remember being at college group and teaching at college group, which I really love to do. And I hadn't written this down, but I was really compelled to share. I'm looking down at some of the young people that are there in the room, and I'm going, you know, I remember being in this room 20 years ago and teaching. And some of the people that were sitting in your exact seat, I remember when they eventually ended up in prison and pornography and heroin and destruction. And they didn't do that in one mighty leap.
Right.
They did it in small, unintentional decisions over a long period of time until they said, how on earth did I get here? Now, you're sitting in the seat. What are you going to do about that?
Mm-hmm.
Because you never would have thought that person was going to end up there.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're recognizing at the end of this show, we gave people an opportunity with Matthew's beautiful music to just talk to the Lord and recognize if they have drifted in certain areas of their life that they need back. So now we've got a return, and I think the verse that really jumps out at me is in Revelation. And it says that you've forsaken the love you had at first.
Yeah. Mm.
Repent. That's a 180, right?
Yeah.
Repent and do the things you did at first. So there is some doing to it.
Yeah.
There's not earning. Dallas Willard said, grace isn't opposed to doing, it's opposed to earning.
Right.
So we're not trying to earn our way back in God's good graces. Like you said, Brianna, on the last episode, he's right there. Turn around.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise!
Yep.
There he is.
Yep.
So the types of things that we do, and I want to ask this of both of you guys. Do you remember what it was like when you first fell in love with Jesus? What was it like? What was that first love when they're talking about returning to your first love? What was it like? Do you remember?
I don't remember my first love because I was so little, but I do remember the first rededication of my life, and that was at Forest Home Camp. And I remember getting ignited and feeling what that felt like. And it was a lot of repenting. It was a lot of a realizing that I was not being the person that I knew that God wanted me to be.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then a lot of forgiving that I didn't deserve. And that overwhelmed me and empowered me, emboldened me, and helped me to share it with other people. Yeah.
Yeah. My relationship, for lack of a better term, with the Lord has always been one of obedience. I remember talking to Linda Hoffman one time when I did an interview for a Mother's Day, and she kind of asked the same question about what was it like when the Lord changed your heart? What was like that feeling? And I didn't get super crazy tingles. I didn't actually really feel this crazy, like now I have to go out and shout everything. It was really personal for me. And I remember I went to a summer camp through Youth Venture. I was like a sophomore. And everything they were saying just made sense. Mm-hmm. And I come from like a very scientific science family. Like my dad loved science. We always talked about it. And so growing up, I kind of steered on the intellectual side of things. And so it just made sense to me.
Still are.
And, thank you. It just made sense to me. And then after that, I just remember feeling like this is just right. It's true. It's right. It makes sense. You can't invalidate it. And I think for me, I wasn't like super filled. I wasn't like shaking and like, now I have to go tell my dad and like force him to love Jesus. I think that
that always works, by the way.
Yeah. I think that in that moment, it was just, I feel whole. I feel whole. I feel complete. Everything makes sense. The world makes sense. The universe makes sense. All science makes sense. Like, my life makes sense. It just makes sense.
And for an intellectual analytical,
yeah,
making sense is important.
Yeah. But I will say, I feel like all the things that I had question marks about, I still had question marks afterwards. But it was like question marks with a sense of hope. And my question marks became less anxiety filled because I knew that God was in control. I won't know, but I know God will know. And so that decreased my anxiety by a lot.
Okay, so you guys both have been on the worship team.
Mm-hmm.
When my granddaughters are down there worshiping.
Everybody. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And I've been on the worship team with one of your granddaughters.
With Evangeline Dawn Heilman.
She's so good.
I'm getting absolute Holy Spirit goosebumps on this one because I'm just picturing Emma and Abby and now Luke running down the aisle because there's this certain place that I worship. It's right in front of Matt. And that's because when the mix is right, the tissue boxes and the kneeling benches bounce off because of the subs. And I've shown people, I go, hey, watch this right here. Watch this. This is a good mix because there's the tissue box on the floor. So that's where I stand right there by the subs. And they run down and I'm looking at them and they're looking at me. And we just love each other. We just love each other. I remember telling
Emma. It's a beautiful thing to behold.
It is. And it's the essence of this real just love.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Emma, one of my older granddaughters, at one point said, Grandpa, you can't pick me up anymore during worship. Because when they're little, I can pick them up and talk about who do you want to be up there on stage? And they all want to be Brianna on the drums. When Brianna's on the drums, they want to be Brianna on the drums. And Emma said, Grandpa, you can always hold me. Dude, okay, I'm changing my will. Everything's going to Emma. But it's the essence of that.
Yeah.
I'm like you, Matt. I fell in love with the Lord, just him and me, when I was probably 5 or 6. And That's just the way it was. Mm-hmm. You know, this spiritual life isn't A to B straight right. line.
Yeah.
Mine is curly like those cables down on the floor. Mm-hmm. Down
yeah.
there. It's like that. But one that, two things that really jump out. Number one is God planted his love for Sylvia in my heart. Mm. I loved her completely and totally very early in the relationship. It's like I didn't know she existed, and then she did, and then it, oh my gosh.
There's no doubt anybody that sees you two knows
oh
that.
Man, it's crazy. Like we would go on dates and we would end up in Encinitas because I wasn't watching what turns I was taking because I just loved being with her. So it didn't matter where we
That's
were going
so neat.
Because we're together. It still happens. It's not that I'm a bad driver. It's just that I'm enthralled, right? And all of that and that feeling, the thing that's so cool about it is Jesus never lost his first love for you.
Yeah.
No, right.
That he, God has a first love for you. The depth of it, I cannot understand, but he imagined you.
Yeah.
And he created what he imagined you. And that whole first love, agape thing, that's how much he loved you. And when we're returning, that's what we're returning to, that love relationship with Jesus. It's not about hustling and doing that kind of stuff. It's about just running back to him like the prodigal and saying,
yeah.
Abba Father.
The other stuff just happens.
It does. It comes organically.
Yeah.
It just and however you're made, like we say on yeah. the show, it's just different.
Yeah.
Lexi Ebert is baking brownies for the dope dealer, and other people are having deep, loving, intellectual arguments on social media.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder how big of a part our perspective also plays when it comes to like spiritual drift. Sometimes when I want to feel inspired, when I'm having conversations, I will just type in like, blah, 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 blah. What does the Bible say? You know? And for this one, I literally typed in, what does the Bible say about returning to the Lord after drifting away? Just to like get Whoa. Verses that are like inspired.
Okay.
And one of the ones that came up was James 1:12. And it says, blessed is one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When I was reading that, I was thinking like a lot of us in the midst of drifting and feeling that distance don't ever think about it in like a positive light because we're so filled with shame or guilt yeah, or yeah. like sadness. But I wonder if we could get kind of in front of ourselves when we talk about returning and think of like the positives of what it means to struggle
Come
and
on.
What it means to like be persecuted in a sense and what it means to like be in this season of a hard trial. And I mean this verse, like that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised wow. to those. It starts off with blessed
yeah.
is the one who perseveres under trial. And so I wonder when it comes to drifting and returning, because I know that we're going to talk about barriers and like coming back, but how much perspective can play in that journey going back. It's a little bit beyond giving ourselves a pep talk and like a little bit beyond encouraging ourselves and more just a literal shift in perspective mm-hmm. of what it means to go through hard seasons.
Yeah.
You were talking last episode, you were very vulnerable about your season of drifting. And I think that as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, but there's going to be a season where you look back on this season and you think these are all the ways that I was blessed.
Yeah.
And these are all the ways that the Lord spoke to me and taught me and my spine was strengthened and my faith was strengthened. Or just like I couldn't see what was happening and the Lord came through and that kind of strengthens my understanding of the Lord actually being there. Because he says he's going to be there for us, but we just kind of forget
always.
Sometimes, you know. So
the thing is you don't drift back to God.
Mm-hmm.
John Mark Comer says, you don't accidentally become a saint.
Yeah.
The thing about drifting is it's unintentional, and shifting and turning is intentional. It's the mm-hmm. intentionality. And once again, the enemy wants to destroy you. He's after you. And he will say, here, wear my glasses. Look through my lenses, you shameful, guilt-ridden mm-hmm. slime. You're terrible. And that's really important. That's one of the barriers about returning
so
in a relationship.
So good at that. He Crappy. Knows exactly what to say to make it believable to you in your mind mm-hmm. to weaken you. If he's that crafty at trying to deceive you. That is why we have to renew our mind with scripture, because
he who is in us.
That's right. That's right. He who is in us is stronger than he who is in the world. The enemy constantly trying to bring you down, constantly trying to bring you into a place where you feel unforgiven, is pretty much game one.
Or into a place of comparison.
Sure. Oh, it's the same thing. Yeah.
Comparison. Comparison is like, it's rampant. Rampant with social
among
media.
Church servants.
Oh my God.
It's probably the biggest downfall.
We compare ourselves to everything.
Everybody.
Us personally on the social media, with whatever. I think even like as a church, we might see another church's worship team and be like, oh, I wish I had blah, blah, blah. Or I wish. Yeah, I wish we had that. I wish my pastor did whatever, whatever. I wish our youth group was blah, 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 blah. And then you just get knocked down.
Yeah. That's why every single thing has to just push us right back to the Lord, right back to him, because we're not safe anywhere else. We're in jeopardy everywhere else. I remember I was speaking to a group of Christian financial counselors. And they had run out of other people, so they invited me to come speak. One thing that was cool is the warden of one of the local prisons was there.
Wow.
And sitting at the table with him, I was like, dude, this is interesting. Tell me some stories. And the first thing I did when I got up, I said, hey, I've just got to let you know that it's just me, but I don't believe in a balanced life. Hmm. And it was just silent. And I went, because I don't think, for me, in my investigation so far, and I still could investigate further, I don't see that balance in Jesus' life. I don't see it. I see a rhythm to his life. Okay, I think I'm going to get away because I need solitude. So I'm going to go have solitude. Wait a minute, where did these 5,000 people come from? And on his way to solitude, he's got these masses and does a great miracle and teaches some wonderful stuff. And then he goes off to solitude. There is a rhythm to this life with the Holy Spirit that we need to stay in rhythm. And sometimes when we drift off that rhythm, it's because we're not close to him. Mm-hmm. So returning is to look at the rhythms of your life. And those are those spiritual disciplines, those spiritual habits that kind of align us, right? It's one of the reasons that we fast. We fast so we go, okay, I want to get in tune so that I can hear from the Lord. And some of the most incredible parts of my life and adventures have been through prayer and fasting. I mean, just amazing. When it talks about return, look at those things that you did when you knew that you were in rhythm with the Lord. It's like you said, Brianna, it was all right. It all made sense. It was correct. It was logical. It was the thing. It just fell into place and it was a natural rhythm. At our church, we got whack rhythms, right? We got this thing called Future Quest. It's not balanced. That's for dang sure. Hey, I think I'll invite 2,000 of my friends over. Many of them are hooligans. And then I'll say I'm sorry to all my neighbors when we're done and we're cleaning up the rubble. I mean, Future Quest is an incredible experience, but not in balance.
Yeah.
But it's part of the rhythm of our culture.
I think we have some big things on the horizon coming.
Oh, yeah. Can I tell a true story that's kind of metaphorical?
Yes, a true metaphorical story.
Yeah, because you're talking about the things that we do, getting us back and returning to the Lord and like the practical things. And as you were talking about that, it reminded me of this season health-wise that I'm in.
Mm,
I would say in probably like March, maybe like the end of March, I just started feeling physically like really, really bad. Mm. And it was like an accumulation. I have a hormonal disorder and I thought I had an inner ear problem and none of my health was right because I wasn't really doing anything that I needed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I started feeling really, really bad. And it was to the point where like it was actually affecting the things I did. And I would have to like cancel counseling meetings early because I was like nauseous and
dang,
I couldn't do a lot of stuff because I would just get super dizzy all the time and my head would start hurting. It felt like my head was like swelling up. And I remember like laying, I have a guest bedroom and the window looks out to the front of my yard. And I was laying in the guest bedroom and I was like in despair. Like, it was like a dramatic movie. I was watching people like walk by, walking their dogs, and I wish I could do that. I wish I could be outside. I was contemplating, like, can I do Future Quest? Can I go to summer camp? I don't know, because I don't know how I'm gonna feel. When I get in those moods, I start kind of coming back to really practical ways of getting myself back on track. And it starts with something like, okay, I'm gonna change this thing. I'm gonna stop eating this thing, or I'm gonna incorporate this. And when that was happening, I decided I was going to lower my sodium intake, because I thought that my blood pressure was high and maybe that was causing headaches and dizziness. So I lowered my sodium intake, and then I ordered some supplement that helped with all this other stuff. But I still was feeling really bad. Like, I was like feeling really sick. And I was like, I need to get outside and get fresh air and go on a walk. So normally I walk like 30 to 45 minutes, but I would walk like 5 minutes down the street, feel really sick, and then go back inside my house. And I did that for a couple months. And now I feel great. I feel a lot better. Feel better than I have in a long time. Thinking about the journey of getting back on track and how there's things that I had to do, and I had to do them even though I didn't feel good, even though I didn't feel perfect, because I had to recognize that the foundation was being built.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't go on a 30-minute walk, but I can go on a 5-minute walk until I feel like I'm going to throw up, and then I go back home, and then I sit back down. Or I would literally walk around my house for like 10 minutes, and then I'd lay back down because I didn't feel good. Or I would get up and try to do my normal routine, and then when I started not feeling bad, I would just go lay back down until the 5 minutes became 10 minutes, and then the 10 minutes became 15 minutes, and then my headache kind of started going away, and then the nausea started going away, and then the other things started going away. And so I think that, like, when it comes to our spiritual life, I don't think that all the time it's going to be something where when you do return, that it's going to be super immediate. You know, it's not going to be like, I feel like I've drifted, and this one day I woke up and I was in my Bible and I was praying, and now everything is magically better, and I feel 100% better, and I feel like God gave me all the answers and clarity. But I do think that doing the practical thing, you know, or I read a verse today, I read two verses the next day, I read a chapter the next day, I read a chapter and I prayed the next day. I think that the foundations is also important, and recognizing that you do have to do the work before you see the fruit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Doesn't seem quite fair, does it?
I don't mean to be like super like cynical, but it isn't about the fairness, you know? It's just about the practicality of what we have to do. Yeah. And I think that the Lord honors us in that. And there might be some people where God is like, you know, one moment you're just not in it, and then the next moment you're at a worship event, or you're at the Foothills Worship Night on October 22nd. And all of a sudden you just get this spiritual like fullness, and then you like go from there. But I think that in the everyday, I don't want to like minimize the importance of scripture and the word, but it's like when you exercise, you have to like work out to see the results. You have to start eating better to see the results. You have to study to gain knowledge to pass the test. You have to do things to learn your trade to understand how to do it. And I think that sometimes we kind of feel like, oh, I'm just gonna like be a Christian. That automatically means I'm gonna have the knowledge and have the closeness and have the fire and have these things. And I feel like sometimes that is the apathy of just feeling like, you know, well, I'm just gonna sleep on my Bible, and then as I'm sleeping, like all the knowledge is gonna like transfer and assimilate into my mind. And so I think that when you're talking about practicality, like that is a big thing in returning, is like you have to do something. You know?
And the thing is like he says, he's doing it with you.
Yes.
And so that's not this heavy burden and everything like that. But yeah, there has to be intentionality, and there has to be a working it out. This is something that would really be encouraging to us. If the people who are listening to this that it resonates with, tell us what your next step, like you said, the 5-minute walk, maybe not the 25-mile run. What are you going to do? So you have to decide for yourself right now, okay, what's my next step? Mm. What's been missing? What's the puzzle piece that I need to put back in there? And People actually do this, so it, I hope a bunch of people do. But my email address is kevinmiller@foothillschurch.org. Send that to me, and I'll share it with Matt and Brianna. And yeah, what are you going to do? And I think that we can talk about that, you know, in the next episode that would be encouraging to people. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be the same for anybody, but it could be encouraging. This is a dialogue. 316 is for not sure just a monologue. Yeah, it's no, a dialogue. So kevinmiller@foothillschurch.org. Send us what the Lord has encouraged you to do to take that step back towards that first love relationship, mm-hmm, that you had with him and that he wants to continue to have with you.
Yeah.
Showing up at a worship service could really be a good thing.
Yeah, and my goal is not to condemn people or be like, you're not doing enough. I think that my goal is to simply encourage that there is capability within us because of the love and strength of Christ. And I really believe, should anybody who's struggling in this season of drifting start implementing and practicing those practical things, that the Lord will be faithful and he will meet you.
Yeah.
And he will help you and guide you to the next step. I think that sometimes God kind of transports us from one side of the mountain to the other. Most of the time, he takes our hand and he runs in front of us and kind of drags us with him sometimes. And we get hit by branches and we get cut by sticks, but we make it and we're stronger and he's proud, and then we can be proud, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. Sometimes there's big fireworks and other times roots are slowly growing deeper. Mm-hmm. Right on. Okay, well, I can't wait to hear. I want to hear from everybody.
Can I just read 1 Peter 1:8?
Of course you can.
Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not know him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy inexpressible and filled with glory.
Amen.
Amen.